with those, you know, those kind of recaptures that people are familiar with, where you're picking the pictures, what would you say if you had to look at a picture and say, pick all the potholes? How easy do you think that would be?
That would be easy, because I am not a robot.
That would be not that easy, because potholes are different sizes, shapes, especially in a picture. Sometimes hard to find that that's a pothole, so...
Yeah, so as of course, it's super interesting that we have this conversation where Max got to sit down with Eric from SpringML to talk exactly about how SpringML solved that problem using some video feeds that were actually attached to city buses. It's super, super cool. So let's go ahead and dive right into that.
Hello, I'm Max Saltonstall. Welcome to Stack Chat at Home. Today, I'm happy to welcome Eric Clark, Technical Program Manager with SpringML, to join us.
Hey, Max, thanks for having me.
So, Eric, you and the city of Memphis worked to solve a very common urban problem. Can you tell me about what you built?
Absolutely. We built a system to detect potholes and give the city some automation around, you know, how they can detect and dispatch crews to fix potholes.
That's awesome. So that sounds pretty challenging. Did this take a long time for you and the team to make?
Well, there was kind of two legs of the project. First was a proof of concept, and that's where we started with the city, just helping them just define what's possible with AI in my city. And so we landed on this pothole use case, and we did a proof of concept. And that lasted about 6 to 8 weeks with me and two other engineers. Once we proved it out, we decided, yep, we had some success here. Let's enhance the model and do the automation so that it serves the city a little bit better and is not just proof of concept. That production phase was basically the same team, another two engineers and myself, along with maybe three or four other folks from the city involved along the way. And that took about 3 months in total. Looking back, it could be a little bit more of an accelerated timeline even. We did it over Christmas and, you know, the holidays and New Year's, so it kind of extended us.
Gotcha. So tell me about what you ended up with in terms of the thing you built to help them find potholes automatically.
Absolutely. So one, we realized they already have the data in form of video on a city bus system. So they have front-facing cameras on their buses. So we knew that we could harvest those data feeds. And so what we wanted to build is as much automation around that as possible. So from the point that we're getting these videos from the buses, we've got a script running that will move those video files up to cloud storage. And from there, we can trigger via cloud function a virtual machine that has a custom TensorFlow model on it, and it runs an object detection model. And then from there, we're piping those results of the detection into BigQuery. And then finally, we've layered on top a custom user interface hosted on App Engine that shows folks at the city all of these detections that are coming in on a regular schedule. So from the point of, you know, getting these videos off of the buses, everything is automated thereafter.
That's awesome. I want to find out more about why you chose some of those technologies. So how did TensorFlow help you solve this problem?
With TensorFlow, it allows us to have a really highly customized and finely tuned model. And we can play with a lot of different levers there. It allowed us to fine tune our accuracy level as much as we could with the data that we had coming in.
And then you were making a custom classifier, in this case, to pick out these potholes from a steady video stream that's coming off of the front of the city buses.
Exactly. Yeah. So we train the model to essentially detect when a pothole comes in view on this front-facing camera, and then also not only detect that that object or that pothole is there, but, you know, how severe is this? Is it large? Is it small? There's a classification system that we worked on with the city to create the model to determine what the severity was.
And then after TensorFlow is done with it, you said you're sending all the results to BigQuery.
Exactly. So things like, you know, where is this pothole located? And then we can reverse geocode the GPS coordinates to find out what the approximate address is and the size and when it was detected, the date that it was detected, things like that. All of that goes into BigQuery, helps from an analytical standpoint, and it's also what we're using to surface that information on the front end application.
Cool. And what makes BigQuery sort of a good choice for this use case?
A couple of things. BigQuery being a managed service takes a lot of headache away from us in terms of spinning something up and managing it. BigQuery is just a service that we can consume and know that it's going to be reliable. It's not going to fall over under extreme load, and it's just incredibly reliable, right? So we didn't want to mess around with having more complexity in our environment, and BigQuery allowed us to do that. And since it's not super highly transactional, right, we can get away with this sort of architecture.
And then you said beyond that stage, you have an App Engine app that folks in the city are using to then consume this process data, right?
Exactly. Yep. So we built a custom application hosted on App Engine, and that application connects to the BigQuery data, which also has pointers over to cloud storage, which is where our thumbnails of these pothole images live from the video files that we're picking up. And it's also integrated with some on-premise systems that the city has. So their 311 system, which is an Oracle backend system, it's where they dispatch all of their tickets for, you know, maintenance like this. So if there's a pothole identified by a citizen or this app, they will create a ticket and dispatch a crew to go fix that pothole. So we've got that integration with the front-end app. So users log in, they can review, see all of the new detections coming in, and they can click a button that says, you know, yes, dispatch, and then that will create that ticket in their on-premise 311 system.
So as you were building this, what were some of the key aha moments or discoveries that you maybe didn't expect going in, but that helped you get to where you got at the end?
A couple key aha moments. One is, and I think every, especially public sector, should take note of this. Chances are you've got a wealth of data. You're just not realizing that you can harvest this sort of information from that data. And this is the case for Memphis, where we did some ideation up front on what they can do with AI. And we identified that, hey, if you want to identify potholes, where are your cameras today? And so the aha moment is really like, wait, I've got these cameras deployed. You know, right now I'm just kind of using it for insurance purposes, right? But what other use cases can you use that data for? And that was a huge aha moment that you already have the data. You just need to be thinking about these data sources differently. Video is just an amazing wealth of data that can be harvested. And secondly, you know, another aha moment was we like to look for optimization opportunities when we deploy things into GCP. And so for that, you know, we have this custom TensorFlow model running on a pretty high power virtual machine with a GPU attached. That can get expensive if you're just leaving it running, right? You don't want to do that. So we deployed a cloud function to automate the process of spinning that expensive virtual machine up and down, pretty much just spinning it up when we need it, turning it off when we don't. Saves a lot of cost that way.
You gave us a good overview of all the tech and how it fits together. But at the very beginning and the very end of this process, you've got a reliance or a connection point to these city systems. The buses are providing the data in, and then you're sending some signals to the 311, the city information systems on the other end. So now that this is deployed and in use, where do you see this evolving or going next to help the city?
Well, this is really exciting because, you know, it started with Art of the Possible. And, you know, once you prove that out with this one very specific use case, the wheels start turning and you start to think about other things like, wait, as a city, we're maintaining a lot of things, right? There's a lot of infrastructure out there. What about manholes, right? We're already seeing those on the street as these videos and buses traverse the city. What about creating road ratings since we're gathering this information rapidly and more often? Realistically, we can come up with a road rating structure that's going to help them prioritize what streets might need to be repaved. And other things like, you know, utility poles, street signs, reflectivity of those signs. I mean, the list just keeps going on and on.
Thank you. It's great to hear these stories of making cities better. And I really appreciate you joining me here today.
Absolutely. Thanks, Max.
Thanks, Max and Eric, for coming in and talking about it.